That is to say, if you pursue integral yoga, then you will attain to the supreme knowledge and integral knowledge. There is a difference between knowledge and integral knowledge. The difference is, when you know the supreme object as one, immutable, and the source, then it is said to be you are in possession of knowledge. Again, to take the analogy from cooking, the moment you can press a grain which is cooked well, you know what is the state of cooking at a given time. Only one grain is sufficient. Similarly, the moment you know the oneness of all, the moment you know the source of all, the moment you know that which remains the same under all circumstances, you can say now you are in possession of knowledge. But then, when you see also the process of the movement of everything, at least in essence, how everything moves, to know the divine as silence is knowledge, basically. Everything depends on that. If you don't have that, no other integral knowledge can come about. So it is an integrating point. But to know that this silence is also force, is also a part of the integral knowledge. To see the silent Brahman as also the Brahman that is force gives the element of integrality. You see how force and silence are integrated, how the one and the other are complementary of each other. It's a part of integral knowledge. If you know the processes by which the whole world is manifested, then you get a further knowledge. In fact, it is that integrality of knowledge which was promised in the 7th chapter. Again, repeat in the 8th chapter, where Sri Krishna says, I will now tell you the reality, having known which nothing more will remain. I will give you the knowledge and vijnana, jnana vijnanena saha. I will tell you what is jnana and what is vijnana. And having known which, nothing more will remain to be known. That is why we saw how in the 7th chapter Sri Krishna declares that this reality has got two natures. Now, that is a knowledge of the becoming, of the force which is manifesting. That this movement, this force, manifests itself in twofold manner. Para and apara prakriti. This knowledge of apara prakriti and para prakriti is a knowledge of the essence of the movement. Wherever you look at the world, once you get this key, you can immediately distinguish between apara and the para. Wherever there is in the world, you can immediately find out what is apara in anything that is given to you and what is para in it. Then Sri Krishna gives a further knowledge of what is adibhautika, adidevika, adhyatma, what is Brahma, what is svabhava. Then he further goes and says, in the 9th chapter on which we dwelt a lot, in which we said how the divine is in all and yet he is not in all. How all is in him, and yet all is not in him. How we saw that it is this reality which can manifest in each and every one, and yet never exhausted. And then we are told in the 10th chapter that in this manifestation there is a sevenfold principle, Saptarshi, the whole idea of seven rishis came. And then Chatvara Manu, four Manus. Now these are the essential principles of development which Sri Krishna describes one after the other and then culminates in the theory of Vibhuti in the 10th chapter, so that we see the apara and para very clearly. The apara in the process of evolution, so that gradually greater and greater perfection is manifested in an evolutionary manner. And then in the 11th chapter, the entire